arm's length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the Cortland Economics Report, heard on all of these Genesis radio stations. Hope you guys are having a good weekend, by the way. It's interesting times right now. We're going to talk about a little bit right now about some interesting times that are going on in the resource industry down in South America. I'm chatting with Eric Coffin and David Coffin. These guys have a great newsletter called The Hard Rock Analyst. They are, in my opinion, two of the most credible guys in our industry and two of the brightest guys in our industry. Gentlemen, what I want to talk about with you is what's going on in South America vis-a-vis the resource industry. I spoke earlier in the show with Greg Johnson. Now, Greg and I discussed what's going on in Bolivia, and, you know, in the matter of full disclosure, you have to say that, well, you know, Greg is the president of a company that is actively involved in Bolivia, and so he is pretty optimistic as to what's going on in that country vis-a-vis the environment provided for the foreign mining companies are working in. But I want to get your opinions on that because, you know, balanced reporting is what it's all about. But first, I want to get your impressions of, you know, in South America, on the one extreme, we have Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. On the other extreme, we have a very, very positive environment in a lot of the country, other countries down there, exemplified by Chile, for example. Am I crazy? Or, you know, when I say that I think South America, for the most part, is a great place to be in the mining business, would you guys agree? David, what do you think? Either one. How about it, David?
Yes, I think South America is a good place to be. There's no question. It's been one of the most prolific mine discovery regions in the world for the last 15 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've traveled down there a lot. I mean, I don't know how many times you've been there, but I've been there a fair amount. You've probably been down there 10 times as often as I have. Let's start out with Venezuela. You ever been down there? Would you consider investing in that country?
I've been to Venezuela, and... No, we're not. We have in the past. We're not actively there at the moment. We still cover one company as a result of earlier forays. It's making money on a cash flow basis now, but it's getting no respect from the market out of concerns for the politics there.
Do you think those concerns are justified?
Yeah, I do, unfortunately.
Yeah, I do, too.
A number of companies have basically had the rug pulled out from underneath of them, and the sense is that the country will change the rules if and when it feels the need to do that, and that's a very difficult environment to invest in if people don't feel they know what the rules are going to be 6 months or 12 months from now. It's very tough to be interested.
Well, let's turn the discussion around, and you know, I think we all agree that Venezuela is probably a pretty scary place to be right now from an investment standpoint. But, I mean, let's talk about Chile and Argentina. I mean, I was just down there shooting video in both countries probably, 3 months ago. And I have to tell you, I was very, very comfortable. Again, I've been down there numerous times, but again, I was very, very comfortable in those countries. I mean, Eric, let's get you involved in the conversation. I mean, are you, what do you think about those two companies? Those two countries, I guess I should say.
We're fans of both, and we're particularly fans of Argentina because Argentina has a lot of the right geology, and a lot of it hasn't really been explored. I mean, we follow two or three companies down there that have made pretty impressive silver discoveries. One of them has been around for quite a while and is in production now, but there's a lot of room there to make new discoveries. And both Argentina and Chile, they're very, you know, they have their hiccups in the past too. Every country in South America has, but for quite a while now, they've been very accepting of foreign investment, and, you know, they lay out the rules fairly clearly. You understand what the game is, what you have to do to get through the exploration and permitting process, and both those countries, too. I mean, if you haven't been there, you've got to remember these aren't third world countries. I mean, these are advanced economies. They've had their problems, but it's a very, very educated populace, very good infrastructure in most areas, and very good places to work.
You know, I have to tell you, in terms of the environment in either one of those two, either Chile or Argentina, you know, if you go to Santiago in the case of Chile, or if you go to Buenos Aires in the case of Argentina, the level of sophistication in those cities is absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, Buenos Aires is one of my favorite cities in the world, not only from an aesthetic standpoint, but also from a cultural standpoint. I mean, we've got a lot of people down there who are far more sophisticated than the average American, I think, would give them credit for. Let's switch over to Bolivia. I mean, you know, you got in the first hour we had Greg Johnson talking about what a positive environment Bolivia was for mining companies. He was saying that three of the largest silver mines in the industry have recently begun production in Bolivia. He's saying that Morales, who gets some bad press in the United States as being a screaming socialist, basically is doing some good things for the country. David, you've been there. What do you think? I mean, is he just blowing smoke, or is it in fact not a bad place to be?
I actually haven't been to Bolivia. My basic take is this. Morales is attempting to right some historic wrongs. He's part of a movement of indigenous peoples in South America. And there's no question in my mind that there's a lot that needs to be done on that side. There has been, and I think continues to be, a perceptual concerns with the country. His government, let's be clear on that, he has been doing it in an arbitrary fashion, but his government has changed the rules for the Brazilian gas companies, for example. But I think there's still a concern that until a stronger sorting out process is completed, that it's difficult to invest there. That said, it is very mineral rich. The country will open at some point.
Yeah. So at this point in time, you've got some questions, I guess, is what you're saying. Do you guys cover any companies that are in Bolivia?
No.
At this point? Yeah, at this point, you know, that's okay, interesting.
We have in the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a country that at present, I just happen to think we're better off in other places that the market's comfortable with. Our job's to recognize what the market is thinking, and not just the potential of an individual company from a technical perspective.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how this the whole situation evolves down there. You know, I'm under the impression in South America from the conversations that I've had in my visits down there that people are really realizing the interdependence of countries around the world. They're realizing in those countries that have rich mining rich resource deposits, they're realizing the importance that that the world basically plays on their well-being in terms of the economic benefits from mining. I don't know. I'm thinking that South America in general right now, excluding Venezuela, I agree with you guys completely, but I'm thinking South America in general right now is a pretty good place to invest. Eric, you got the final word. You got 20 seconds, buddy.
No, I agree. It's one of the best mining areas in the world, and it's an area with a lot of discovery potential, and it understands that mining can and has done a lot of good things for their economy, so they're pretty pro-mining by and large.
No, I would agree, and as I said, I've been very impressed down there. Okay, I want to suggest that you folks take a look at the video on our site that we have shot a couple of videos recently with Eric and David Coffin. These guys are very, very interesting. Click on the banner on our site that goes to their site. You can learn more about the Hard Rock Analyst. You know, you have to admit Eric and David Coffin are two very, very interesting guys. And I think what they have to say about South America is, a lot of truth in it. You have to consider, you certainly have to consider, if nothing else, the parts of the world that you're investing in, what's going on in those areas politically, et cetera, and you know, it's what they had to say is important, and I think you should consider it in your investing.
As the economy continues to decline, patriots across the nation are preparing for the worst. The world is changing fast. Are you fully prepared? Or will you be forced to eat government soup? At PatriotFood.com, we offer you 135 pounds of dehydrated food and six varieties of canned meat for half price. And at SurvivalistSeeds.com, we now offer 50 non-GMO varieties of vegetables and over 10,000 heirloom seeds. That's twice as many as our competition for the same price. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Food insurance, just in case. Owned by me, Big John Lipscomb.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
HempUSA.org urges everyone to plan ahead for possible food shortages in the future. We offer this dense, nutrient-storable food directly from the farm to your door. What the world needs is our energy-packed hemp food in a storable, portable form that can easily and quickly be picked up for travel. This food contains readily available protein, amino acids, essential fatty acids, digestive enzymes, and major minerals. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. And with prices rising in every sector, the investment in your future is critical to have some storable food available. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, so be practical and be wise. Call 908-691-2608 and place your order today. If food shortages don't come, you can always rotate our hemp foods back into your daily food supply. To place your order, learn more, and see numerous other great products, visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Okay, I am back with Marin Katusa. Again, Marin was... took part in a segment in the first hour. We're back. He's back with us in the second hour. We're going to talk a little bit about energy. He is specifically the energy analyst for Casey Research. Marin, I have an interesting question for you, and that is this past week, you know, we talked about this in a video that we shot earlier this week, but, you know, this past week, President Obama came out and said, you know, offshore drilling really isn't a bad idea, contrary to his stance during the, you know, during the primaries and contrary to his stance during the election. Now he's saying, not such a bad idea. What do you think about that reversal?
it's expected that a politician is going to do the exact opposite of what he says, and
yeah.
we've written about this. But the reality of it is it's going to be expensive, and it's going to be a long process to get the permits, to get the companies incentivized to willing to take that risk, because mm-hmm. you know, just in the last 18 months they said no way to yes, and how did a company who's going to invest, you know, these offshore wells can cost up to $80-100 million per well.
Okay? Yeah, sure.
So if a company's going to willing to do that type of investment, they need some long term security. So right now, I think there's lower-hanging fruit, easier money to be made. And in our standpoint, the big money is made investing in these juniors, and it's going to be very difficult for a junior to go into the offshore field because of the extensive costs. So you're going to see a lot of the bigger companies, such as, you know, your BP, your Shells, your Exxon.
Sure, right.
Those are the type of companies that are exactly who that's just the cost of doing business. But you're not going to see many juniors listed on that Vancouver Stock or the Toronto Stock Exchange venture going and exploring offshore. It's just too expensive.
I would agree 100%. I guess my question is, though, getting back to the political aspects of you know, the question that I posed, I agree with you that politicians have a tendency to reverse themselves, you know, themselves in midstream, because they're out there looking for votes, etc. But, you know, what I find really, really interesting is a day after the president came out and made that statement, the Republicans said, not good enough, that's not far enough. The Democrats came out and said, you're going to kill all the sea life in the area. Neither party supports that, as he put it. What's that all about, man?
Well, if you roll it back, peel the onion a few layers, and look what's going on with just the Canadian oil sands.
Yeah.
One in every 6 barrels of oil consumed in the United States of America comes from the Canadian oil sands.
Sure.
Whether the Americans like it or not, they need that oil.
Mm-hmm.
And would you rather be dependent on your friendly neighbor to the north, Canada, or the Middle East, who really wants the gunya? So America has to stop relying on foreign sources of oil. And I was telling you during our video when I had lunch with T. Boone Pickens,
yeah.
He's completely right. The reality is he is right. North America, USA especially, is the Saudi Arabia of coal.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of coal there. And ironically, 50% of all the generation electricity comes from coal. So the Americans don't like to talk about these realities. So if Obama's green incentive programs do work, let's just say everything happens the way a politician says, and that's one of you're guaranteed that that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
But let's just say Obama's right. Even if they tripled the amount of green energy generation that happens in the USA, they'll get to 7% of their electricity generation from green energy.
Yeah.
It is such a small fraction.
Yeah.
So the reality of it is they need the oil sands. They need coal. They need uranium.
They desperately need uranium, and I'm going to segue into that one just for maybe for the rest of our discussion here. I am a real believer in nuclear power. Okay, the number of, you know, the press comes out and says, you know, courtesy of the green movement, that nuclear energy is dangerous. How many people have been actually killed because of nuclear energy? And let's take away, you know, weapons of mass destruction. Let's talk about nuclear power. How many people have been killed? 2.
Al, the problem is it's called the Jane Fonda effect, the China syndrome.
Yeah.
Okay. So the reality is the media will manipulate it all they want, but 20% of all the houses in America are lit by nuclear generation
today.
So yes, today. So when we talk about when we did our analysis, there's a friend of mine who actually went to university, undergrad. He was in my organic chemistry class together. His name is Amir Adani. And 3 years ago at a Casey conference, I stood up and said, this is going to be a star. We wrote up his company at 25 cents, and today it's plus $3.
Mm-hmm.
This past week, he was featured in Forbes magazine, Amir Adani, for his Uranium Energy Corp.
Mm-hmm.
So we've taken a Casey free ride on it, but we're a big supporter because he's going to produce. He's going to be the next uranium mine in Texas.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're right. How many people have died from it? But the media doesn't care.
No.
Right?
They want to sell newspapers.
But there's a lot of money to be made.
Media wants to sell newspapers. Media wants to sell advertising. I actually did a video with your friend two or three years ago with Jay Taylor, and I agree with you. Uranium Energy is a great company. I think uranium is, you know, it's almost so obvious it's a ridiculous comment to make, but as a source of energy, uranium is going to be the next big, big area to go into.
Completely agree.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the United States going to do? You know, I was thinking about this when I was, Kathy and I were down in Palm Springs two, 3 weeks ago, and we were driving from California, or driving from, I should say, the L.A. area into Palm Springs. You know, you go into, you drive into that, the Coachella Valley down there, and coming from the west, there are literally thousands of windmills down there, wind generating devices, for lack of better terms. My question.
Wait till the greenies talk about the eye pollution.
It's not ugly. It's despicable. But they don't talk about that. How can a movement rationally say that nuclear power is wrong because it's, you know, it's bad for the environment, which is ridiculous, and then say that windmills are great when they are? I've never seen a bigger eyesore, Marin, than some of these windmills.
The problem of the windmills is one thing. It doesn't work when it's not windy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And if it's too windy, what people don't know is
yeah.
The irony of it is if it's too windy, that also doesn't work either.
Yeah.
Okay? It has to have that right speed for it. So, you know, as an investor, I'm going to shock your subscribers. Maybe they want to turn up the dial here a little bit. You can make so much money investing outside of the USA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's places like Albania.
Sure.
People go, Albania. They go, Marin, are you crazy? I've been to Albania well over 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
They have Europe's largest onshore resources. When you got guys like Frank Drucker and Sam McGee mm-hmm. investing in countries like Albania,
yep.
you want to listen.
Oh,
and you got a guy like when you have a major experienced investors like John Tognetti who are major shareholders in a company in
mm-hmm.
Albania,
mm-hmm.
you want to follow people. I can't emphasize this enough.
Marin's going to be back on the show in the future. He's an interesting guy. We're going to revisit in the next segment with Betsy McCoy, an op-ed columnist for the Wall Street Journal. We're going to revisit her views on the Medicare system, the Medicare system in the United States. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need the Magic Yellow Flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The Magic Yellow Flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. That's MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. I'm Roger Mason, research chemist and developer of the all-natural supplement Beta Prostate, and I want you to know about a free bottle giveaway. Beta Prostate helps your body support good prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and even intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay a small shipping and handling fee. Make the call today and get your free bottle.
To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-257-7201. One free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish at M10 gas masks are 3 for $30, and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for strike anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com, or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
You're listening to GCS, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I am Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. Back as promised with Dr. Betsy McCoy. I'm going to give her this whole 8 minutes and 20 seconds. I'd like her to address one issue, and the issue is, what do you do about the people who simply are perhaps not mentally competent to make a decision to get insurance, or who simply don't have the money? You throw them to the wolves, Betsy?
No, of course not. In fact, 35 states already have what we call high-risk pools. These state laws allow insurers to price premiums for everybody else in the state according to their age or their health condition. But then for those who couldn't afford to pay a very high premium because they're already sick or they have a history of cancer, the state high-risk pool is open to them, and premiums are capped. They can't be too expensive. And the reason that they're kept low is that the state taxpayers subsidize that high-risk pool. That's been very successful in some states. And I just wrote a bill. In fact, I sent it to the members of Congress who are going to be attending the President's Healthcare Summit. It's just a 20-page bill in plain, honest English. It's called the Plain English Bill to Reduce Premiums and Help Laid-Off Americans. And the reason I wrote it is that every day people tell me they want a bill written in plain English, something that all the members of Congress will actually read before they vote, and a bill that anybody can inspect. You know, if it's 20 pages, they can't slip in all those pork projects. They can't put in the secret deals. They can't put in the exemptions for Washington insiders. But getting right to your question, one of the four parts of this very brief, clearly written bill provides federal block grants to states to set up these high-risk pools or improve their high-risk pools if they haven't kept the premiums low enough for people to actually be able to afford them. But we know this works because it's been tried. And one of the things I noticed in the summit that the president brought together was that he didn't invite any of the governors or the state health commissioners. And frankly, for the last 60 years, health insurance has been totally regulated by the states. Those are the folks who know what they're doing. They have a lot of experience. They've learned a lot of lessons, sometimes the hard way. And if the people at that summit looked at what's happening in the various states, they could identify what works and what has failed. And one of the things that's worked best is these high-risk pools to protect people who have pre-existing conditions or very serious health problems.
Betsy, can you rattle off a half a dozen or so of these 35 states?
Oh, almost all the states. I'll give you the ones that don't do it. The ones that don't do it, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, Vermont, states that have gone to the other system that's out there, California doesn't have high-risk pools either, by the way.
Yep.
The other system that's out there is called Community Rating Guaranteed Access. New York went to that system in 1992, and here's the result. In 1992, 750,000 New Yorkers were able to afford to buy these individual policies sold in the state. This year, only 36,000 people were able to afford it because the price shot up when they put into place guaranteed access community rating. What that means is that insurers have to sell to everybody at the same price and they can't turn anybody down. So what happened was when they passed that law in New York, people literally would wait until they got sick or had an accident and then buy an insurance policy. Well, you can imagine how quickly the price went up. Then all the healthy people dropped out of the pool, and that's why there are only 36,000 people left in the New York individual market, because everybody else said, oh, that insurance is too expensive, I'd rather go without it. But a high-risk pool enables people to buy affordable insurance even though they've had a health problem.
Yeah. It really kind of makes me angry when, for example, people throw folks like yourself and myself into the category of absolutely uncaring human beings because we're willing to basically throw people out to the wolves and they're going to die because we're not supporting a socialistic healthcare system. And, you know, I have to tell you, I haven't spoken to anyone, Betsy, who is of the mind of, well, you know, if you can't afford it, that's your tough luck.
Nobody. No one believes that.
No.
You know, what's really remarkable, though, Al, is this. Most people, unfortunately, don't know what's in this healthcare legislation. They have an inkling that it's not good. But who could read a 2,074-page bill? So, but basically, this bill expands the number of people who have insurance, not by making premiums affordable. No. 60% of the people who will be newly insured under this bill are being dumped into Medicaid. In fact, individual premiums will actually be higher under this bill than they would be if the bill weren't passed. So this is an agenda, a social agenda, to put more and more people into a government-run healthcare program. And where will the money come to expand Medicaid to another 15 to 20 million people? They're cutting Medicare. $500 billion reduction in future Medicare funding over the next 10 years, just when so many more seniors are going to be enrolling in that program. So anybody who's listening who's 50 or 55 or 60 and has paid into that system their whole life, their whole working life, and counting on it, better be aware that you're not going to get under Medicare what people currently get, because this bill is funded by taking resources away from seniors and giving them to lower-income people who want to depend on government.
What's the point? It's obvious to me there is a very calculated agenda behind this. That's the only thing I can think of. I mean,
it is strictly a very left ideological agenda. One of the things that worries me so much about it, too, is that when I talk to young people in their 30s or even in their late 20s who haven't had time to look into this, they haven't caught on yet how coercive this legislation is. But this legislation compels you to enroll in the type of health plan the government is going to require you to have. It's called a qualified plan. And this bill substantially expands the powers of the IRS, Internal Revenue Service, to force you to comply. Bad enough that we have to deal with the IRS at tax time. Now you're going to have to deal with them when you need insurance. And finally, this bill, for the first time in U.S. history, empowers federal officials to dictate how doctors treat privately insured patients. Privately insured patients, not patients in Medicare or Medicaid. So even if you have the fanciest Oxford plan or Cigna plan or Blue Cross plan, the government is still going to be sending guidelines to your doctor, telling your doctor what is now considered appropriate and cost-effective medicine for you.
You know, I have to tell you, I'm 65 years old, and I don't feel really good about that. You know, all of my life, my wife and I have paid in, okay? And all my life, all our lives, my wife and I have purchased our own health insurance, and it cost us a lot of money. We didn't go out and buy a brand new BMW or lease a new BMW. We didn't go out and buy a home that was priced well above our means because we could afford, you know, because we had the income to do it. We took a very large amount of money and purchased our own insurance. And I have to tell you, I have always been very happy with my insurance. I am now on Medicare, supplemental, etc. I'm very happy with it. I have to say, I really don't want to lose it. Listen, I want to say, you know, I kind of feel like I have to do just a little bit of editorializing here to give you a little bit more of my opinion for what it's worth on this. I have a lot of respect for Betsy McCoy. I need to say that. Her writing that appears frequently in the Wall Street Journal on the op-ed page is great. I think she is very, very dedicated and very committed into, you know, and very, very set in her beliefs, so to speak. And I'm not saying that they're right or they're wrong. This healthcare issue, since it has passed, and again, this interview, as you know, was a rerun. We spoke with Betsy prior to the passage of this bill, but since the bill was passed, I mean, it clearly is one of the most important pieces of legislation, whether you agree with it or whether you disagree with it, that's happened in our country in an awfully long time. I would have to say at this point, you know, the jury is out. I think as far as a lot of people are concerned, a lot of people are very, very negative. A lot of people are very, very positive. You know what I have to say at this point? Let's give them the benefit of the doubt and wait and see. Take a listen. She's a very interesting woman, and you'll have the ability to call in for questions. Dr. McCoy, thanks for your time.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Oh, my sinuses! They feel like they'll explode!
Sinus pressure, sinus headaches that keep you up at night. You've struggled for years. You've tried everything to get relief, but your sinus distress just keeps coming back and robbing you of the healthy life you deserve. Sound familiar? Well, you're not alone. Statistics show that 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress. Fact is, 67 products merely treat the symptoms and don't get to the cause of your sinus problem. Now there's a solution that's safe and doctor-recommended. SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray. It's the only patent-protected nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of your sinusitis. No alcohol, no rebound congestion, no drug interactions, and easy to use. Don't go another day just treating symptoms. Take control of your sinus health now and get SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray and get the relief you deserve. Go to buysinofresh.com. That's B-U-Y, sinofresh.com. Or call 888-906-3636. Breathe easy. Breathe free. Get SinoFresh today. It works.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio-blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well-respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video, with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
The healing revolution is here, naturally. Announcing King Bio Natural Medicines, over 200 powerful physician-tested homeopathic formulas for mind, body, and pets. Get fast relief this allergy season with King Bio's Allergy and Hay Fever Reliever. When you order online today, you'll receive a free guide booklet to natural medicine. Supplies limited, so order at kingbio.com. That's kingbio.com. KingBio.com, your natural pharmaceutical company.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the last segment of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report, heard on these Genesis radio stations. I am going to wrap the show up with an old friend of mine, a guy who I think has got the best handle on what's going on in the silver end of the precious metals market of anybody out there, and that's David Morgan. I've been reading David's stuff for a long time. I have shared the podium with David at various investment conferences in the past. This guy is not only really bright, he's also really well informed. David is going to share with us right now his views on, I'm going to say, mid to long term thoughts about the price of silver. You're on, my friend.
Okay, well, long term, I just did a study. It's in the March issue of the Morgan Report on, you know, what the 10 years going forth looks like for the silver market. I was really, frankly, kind of surprised. Obviously, I'm biased, so I'll say that initially, but the amount of investment demand has been very substantial, especially since the advent of the SLV, the ETF, the main ETF. There are about three or four of them. The SLV is the most well-known and by far the largest, which holds almost 300 million ounces of silver in commercial bar form, but it's held for investment purposes. And when you realize that the entire amount of commercial bars available is about 600 million, one entity owns about 50% of it, you can see that there isn't really that much silver out there for investment purposes. And then the other side of the equation, of course, is what the coin market holds, and this is everything from government minted coins like the Canadian Silver Maple Leaf or the Silver Eagle or any of the government mints. And then atop, of course, all the private mintage that are known as silver rounds. So the investment side is well taken care of. And then when you look at the industrial side, you've got solar that's going to be really, really substantial over the next decade. You've got food processing and water purification that's rather significant. And then you have medical applications. And that doesn't include a couple that I left out. I talked about them and deliberately in the report went into much greater detail than we're doing on your show. But superconductivity, at one time the Silver Institute thought that it would be about 50 million ounces of silver per year. That's not going to happen, I'm convinced of that. But it could be, I don't know, 5 to 10. It is mentioned in the Wall Street Report. The Silver Yearbook mentions superconductivity. At least they did the last couple of years. I expect that they will, and the new edition is coming out in a few months. Then wood purification. And this is substantial if it ever gets approved, because right now for your wood preservatives, you're using copper carbonate arsenic, which is basically poisonous, leaches into the water, not a good thing environmentally, and silver, of course, is inert and could be used. The problem is it uses a very small amount of silver, but the amount of wood docks and wood playground equipment and wood fences and everything else that uses product adds up substantially. Again, and you're looking probably at the 20 to 50 million ounces per year, and I left that out. because I just don't know. I'm not saying that will happen. I'm not saying it won't happen. And then the last assumption I made that's biased kind of to the neutral would be consumer electronics. I took that as flat. In other words, it's not growing over the next decade. I believe substantially that it will be growing, but to be conservative, I left it as flat. So increased investment demand, increased industrial demand, silver supply, that's the other part of the equation, of course. And I took 2-3% compounded growth rate for silver mining, which sounds like it's feasible. And if you look over the last 4 or 5 years, you basically had that. You've had about a 2% increase in silver mining. Of course, we've had one of the greatest commodity booms here since 2000. We've seen in quite some time. And I'm projecting that that continues. Do I believe it'll continue? No, I do not, because if you continue to compound 2% from the starting point of 660 million ounces of silver mined on an annual basis, you get over 800 million ounces in year 8, 9, and 10. And what that means is that you've got a Apex Silver and a Pascua-Lama, which account for 40 million ounces total on an annual basis. You're talking about 2.5 more of them being discovered like the last 3 years of this study. And I don't think that's possible. But again, I projected that it would be. In other words, that the increase in mining production would be robust, to put it politely. I don't think it'll be able to achieve that, but again, I'm going to assume that it can. Using all of those numbers, we still have an extremely bullish case for silver. And the wild card basically is silver recycling. And this is, you know, it's a pretty substantial amount. You're looking, depending on which study you look at, 175, 200 million ounces a year. And it probably will increase. I mean, if you have more silver being used in applications that are economic to recover, and even some that aren't that get recovered anyway, you could add to the amount of silver being recycled. Let's face it, in some of the solar panel applications, you probably could recycle it. But when? You know, are you going to put a solar panel up and recycle it 2 years down the road? I doubt it. So, again, very, very bullish. More bullish, actually, than I expected to be when I got done with the study, because I was basing it on my bias on investment demand primarily, which is still the key. I don't want to misstate anything. But the increase of industrial demand and the amount of silver that's going to be able to be produced over the next decade, take all those factors together. It's all spelled out in great detail in the report, but it's, you know, very, very important, I think, anyone that's very serious about this market to either do their own analysis or, you know, take my expertise working on this thing for quite some time and, you know, take a look at this March issue, because you're going to be you're going to have more conviction than ever that you're investing in the silver market for the right reasons.
You know, I guess the comment that I would make, I mean, I've made it known to my listeners, Dave, for a long time that I think silver for an investor of my size is a much better investment for the leverage factor for one than gold, and also for all the reasons that you just gave in terms of some very concrete specific inputs to the supply demand equation, which I think is really, really very, very important. You know, in the gold market, and I am a gold bug, I like gold. But the gold market is, I would have to say, much more emotional than the silver market. For one to say that the gold market isn't to an extent based on supply and demand, that would be foolish, because every commodity to an extent is based on supply and demand. And I think that even Bill Murphy of GATA would agree with that, in the sense that the price of gold may be manipulated, but how do you manipulate it? Well, you manipulate it by causing fluctuations in the actual supply and demand itself. But with silver, you know, with gold, you have what I think. I mean, gold is the ultimate store of value. It is a psychological and incredibly important psychological asset. Silver, on the other hand, not only is an important psychological asset, but silver is also a very important industrial asset. And in my mind, those are the reasons that David Morgan is right in the March issue of his report. And those are all the reasons that that we're very comfortable continuing to buy silver. I just think it's a very, very sound place to be. You know, and I mean, let's talk a little bit about the economy. I mean, you know, the dollar is our economy's in trouble, Dave, as you know, and the dollar is, I think, ultimately in trouble. People like Clyde Harrison, et cetera, are saying that this is the decade of things, buying things, and silver definitely falls into that category. I mean, I don't see how you can miss, personally, my friend.
Well, thank you, and you know, time will tell. I certainly am more convinced than ever that silver is definitely going to be one of the best investments you can make over the next 10 years, because that doesn't preclude that, you know, we get whacked down sometime over the next week, two, or month, who knows, but longer term, I'm very solid on it.
Yeah, I am too. Listen, do me a favor. We got about 30 seconds here, 40 seconds. Tell our new listeners on the Genesis Network a little bit about your site and what you do, would you?
Sure. It's themorganreport.com. Just type in themorganreport.com. And I'm a top-down analyst looking at the silver and gold market from a commodity aspect all the way down to probably the smallest mining entity out there and everything in between. I've been writing in the space for well over a decade, and I speak on the space throughout the world.
And you're leaving out a couple of things that I think are very, very important. Let's talk about your education.
It's my degree formally is in economics and finance, but it's, you know, Keynesian based. But I had already schooled myself in the Austrian school before I got the master's, so I challenged them in a very gentlemanly way all the way through school.
So you are basically an Austrian.
Absolutely.
We have that in common too. Okay, been chatting with David Morgan of the Morgan Report.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local stations and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237. 7.